All right, y'all. I am going to primarily be in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 today. This message may or may not connect to our Mother's Day celebration. It's the next step in where we are in our study. I think it applies to all of us, so it applies to the mothers too. So just kind of keep that in mind as we go forward. I think it's important for us to stay focused on what the Lord will have us do as we celebrate our different holidays and continue to be blessed by those things. But I know that if we're going to continue the mission that's given to the church in the book of Acts, as we have been learning about and studying about, being reminded of, I think we have to pause and make ourselves be reminded of and be aware of the fact that we have opposition to that mission, right? There is one who wants to see us fail more than anything. He wants more than seeing us fail. He wants to pull us away from the mission that God has given us, that mission being go into the world and make disciples, go into the world and love people, right? We have an enemy. We call him Satan. We call him the devil. Call him the evil one. And he does not care a hoot about you. Right? Yeah, I hope y'all know that. And I'm saying that because I know y'all know that, but I'm pointing it out because for some reason or another, we all do a lot of listening to him on occasion. We all listen to him more than we ought to. We all are affected by him more than God wants us to be. And what Jesus did on the cross was such a powerful thing. And the Spirit of God that lives in us is way more powerful than our enemy ever will be. Yet we still battle with this enemy. We still sometimes get persuaded by the enemy. And don't feel bad about it. We're all in the same boat, right? He's pretty crafty. He's pretty sly. He's a snake in the grass. He knows how to tell the same lie a million times and make you believe it most of the time. That's what he does. That's his goal. And he does that because he hates God and God loves you. Okay? Just know it. And once you know it, that's the beginning of winning the battle. The battle is that we would stay faithful to the mission. If we could just stay faithful to the mission, we can't lose, right? Because we have Christ. We have the Spirit of God. We have everything Jesus died for because of our faith in Jesus. We cannot lose if we stay faithful, but that's a big if, isn't it, sometimes? There's days when we praise the Lord because we are victorious in our faithfulness to our commitment to Christ, and then there's other days where we're just on our knees before the Lord at night saying, Lord, I failed again. I couldn't do it for whatever the reasons are. It's a big if, but it doesn't have to be that big of an if all the time. But I want to tell you that where the battle is, if you haven't already figured that out. The battlefield is our minds. All right? Because here's one thing I know for sure. You can read most of the Bible and find this out. Jesus has already won. You understand? He's already won. Victory is there for you and I to step into and live in. Praise the Lord. The only time we lose or surrender that victory is if we give in to the enemy and we allow him to defeat us on the battlefield. And the battlefield is your mind and my mind. Because all he can ever do is convince you to give up on what you know is true. He can't make you do anything. He can't take anything from you that God has given you. God certainly wouldn't do it. God wants you to have it. It being salvation and the power of the kingdom of God living in you. As we studied this morning in our Bible study about God's righteousness living in you. That's the gift. That's salvation, the righteousness of God alive and well in you. Nobody is going to take that from you. Satan can't take it from you. No enemy, everybody on the planet can't take it from you. All you could ever do is surrender that. And so Satan's job, the enemy's job, is to get on the battlefield and convince you to give it up or surrender to it or act like it's not real. Y'all get where I'm at? I know y'all do because I know every one of y'all have been there like I have and still do from time to time. It's a battle, isn't it? It's a struggle from time to time. You know what the Bible says. You know what God's promises are. But yet the reality of what your eyeballs are seeing says something else. And it's a struggle to stand in what you know is true versus what you feel is true. That's the battle that I'm talking about. All right? If we want to tie this into Mama's Day, sometimes you just want your mama because she makes everything better. Am I right? Because you can't figure it out in your own mind. So sometimes mom comes around and just hugs you and says it's going to be all right. And because mom thinks it's going to be all right, it's going to be all right. It's I don't know how many times bigger than that when you're talking about God. When you draw near to God and say, God, I can't figure it out. I don't know what to do. And you feel like you're losing the battle. And he wraps his arms around you and say, it's going to be all right. I've already won this. Ain't no reason for you to worry about none of it, right? How many of y'all know in Jesus we're victorious? We can't lose. All right, so then why do we sweat it when we're in the middle of the battle? When the battle gets heavy and dark in our minds and we start doubting and start figuring, we're working against what the Bible says is true and God's promises and we still have situations. It's because Satan's working hard to convince you in that moment. Maybe God really doesn't care. Maybe God's promises aren't for you. They're for everybody else, but not for you. Or maybe you're just not good enough. You know the lies that Satan tells you. That you should never even believe. They make when you're in a good place, when everything's sunny in your mind, they're just ridiculous lies, aren't they? But when it's dark and heavy and you're stressed and you're weak, it's a real thing. And you're even saying to yourself, I know God loves me. And then you have an argument. If you're like me, maybe nobody's like me, but if you're like me, you have an argument with yourself. It's like, you big dummy, you know God loves you. Why would you even consider that he doesn't? And then you have this, then you look at yourself and you're just like, but what about this, this, and this? If he loved me, then what this, and this, and this? And you just keep doing that back and forth. And Satan, here's the thing. Here's how Satan works, by the way. He'll tell you these lies and instigate this doubt in your mind, and then he'll stand off to the side and watch you fight yourself on the battlefield. You think you're fighting him, but you're actually cutting yourself, defeating yourself. You ever think about it that way? He's a wicked one, y'all. Or he'll tell you, he'll put temptation in front of you and convince you that you need it or want it and you can have it. And then he'll go tell God on you. See, look, they don't let that person there don't love you. Look at him over there. All it took was one little lie and there they go. It's the battlefield, yo. It all happens in here. It all happens in here. I'm going to read some scripture this morning to help us with this, because not only does it affect us in our personal lives, in our journey in walking with Christ as believers, right? And not only does it affect our faithfulness and our commitment to Christ, but it also affects us as a church family and what God's doing here at the church and what he's going to do here at the church, right? Because the enemy will continuously point out what's not working or what seems wrong. Or what seems to be out of line with what God wants to happen. And if we allow it, if we just surrender the battlefield, then we'll just sit around and we'll start complaining and grumbling about, well, look at the way it is. It's all bad now. Everything's different. And none of what we're saying and thinking agrees with what God's word ever said. Right? It's a battlefield, y'all. It's not a joke. It's not something to play with. It's to be taken seriously. If we're going to be about the Lord's business, if we're going to complete the mission that the church has been sent to do, if we're going to be faithful to our commitment to Jesus as Lord and Savior of our life. We don't just get to be saved and go sit on the saved bus, the salvation bus, and wait for us to get there. That's not what it's about. You're saved so you can help other people get saved. You're saved so you can honor God by the way you live in this world until you're gone from this world. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 5 just to start with. We're not going to focus on that particular scripture, but we're going to start there. Peter, he says this in verse 8 of chapter 5, 1 Peter, he says, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, like someone looking for somebody to devour." That's what he does. That's all he does. He knows he's defeated. His goal is to see how many of us can he take with him. And if a person's not saved, he really don't give a hoot about them because they're already gone anyway. He cares about me and you because we love God and God loves us and we're part of his kingdom. It's not some cartoon figure with horns and a tail and some kind of fork with fire breathing out of his mouth. That's not what we're talking about. He's real. He's a real enemy. And he will take your life today if you allow it. He'll do it quickly or he'll let you do it slowly over the rest of your life if you just keep surrendering the battlefield to him. If you just keep allowing him to run the battlefield like he owns it, you'll die a slow, agonizing, spiritual death. Yeah. But if you know that the promises of God are that we have victory in Christ, then we'll claim that battlefield. We'll put his flag in the battlefields of our mind and make sure that it's off limits to the lies of our enemy. How do we do that? Well, there's some tools that we've been given. We're going to look at that here in the next verse that we look at. But just imagine, let me give you a little picture of what it's like. If we don't take this serious and pay attention to this on a daily basis, if we don't stay alert, sober-minded, not sober from alcohol, even though that's necessary, but be sober-minded, meaning you understand what you're thinking about, you know what you're thinking about, you're intentionally thinking about things the way God's Word says things are. You're aware of the battlefield. You're aware of the enemy. You're sober-minded. You're alert. You're always looking for what's going on because the devil is there. I don't know how many of y'all watch like Animal Planet or different documentaries about wild animals like lions and tigers and hyenas especially. Hyenas are... You got to watch a documentary about them hyenas, man. Them guys, they don't even deserve to eat, but they steal stuff. They just go steal what everybody else worked for. And then they're sitting there cackling about the whole thing. It's pretty wild, actually. But I watch them lions and them bigger cats, and they just slowly move through the brush. And they'll take all day to get there. They'll see their kill across the way, and they will take all day, one little step at a time, so they're not seen. Until they're close enough, they pounce. And once they pounce, it all breaks loose. And they get what they're after, and they have their meal. And what I noticed is many times they catch the slowest, weakest, smallest one. The one that's not prepared, the one that's not ready, the one that doesn't know how to defend themselves, whatever it is they're chasing. You understand? This is our enemy, y'all. He's around. He's got his eyes on you. He knows all about what you're trying to do. And he knows how to push your buttons. He knows what you already doubt in your own mind. He knows whether you're strong in this area or that area or weak in this area and that area, and he will wait for you to start getting tired or fatigued or let your guard down. And he'll pounce. And then you're in a world of trouble. The battle for the mind is real, y'all. What if somebody came into your house, like they surveilled your house for 6 months, watching when you come and when you go and when you turn the lights out and when you turn the lights off, and they somehow or another figured out that you got a key buried in the ground somewhere in case you lose your key, because a lot of people do that, and they go off and get that thing and make a copy of it. So when you're not home, they just keep going in there and they take one little thing at a time out of your house until they have all they want, and you just suddenly wake up and it's like, well, I thought we had some valuables around here somewhere. And you just don't know it's missing because it's subtle, a little bit at a time. Can you imagine getting robbed? I'd rather just get robbed. I'd rather it all just be gone than for that to happen. Somebody over and over again take a little bit from me at a time and I didn't notice it. You see, that's the way it happens. That's the way it happens. Let's look over now to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Not only are we going to recognize the enemy, but we're going to use the divine weapons that God has given us, that God has provided for us, made a way for us to have. He's not going to leave us on the battlefield by ourselves. He's not going to leave it in our hands because he knows that we're not strong enough to win that battle. You see, so what happened on the cross, our Savior, he didn't just die so we can leave this world and go be in heaven with God for eternity, even though that's amazing. He died so that we would have a message to share with the world that they also could be saved. And he also gave us these weapons to use while we do it, because he knows the enemy is going to be right after us. Look at verse 3 and 4 of chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses." All right? God does not intend for us to fight this battle in our own righteousness, or our own flesh, our own strength. In fact, it's not even a battle against flesh, is it? Paul taught that. The battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against the principalities of this world. It's a spiritual battle, y'all. It's a spiritual battle. This is a battle against our enemy. And sometimes our enemy affects other people and other people get involved in that, but we're not fighting other people. We're fighting the one that is against our Savior, Jesus, and everything he is and everything he's done. And if our mission is to take that gospel about Jesus Christ being the Savior of the world and being the Lord of the world, and tell it to as many as we can and show it to as many as we can in his love, surely the enemy is going to try to destroy everything we do. And we just have to make up our minds that we won't be stopped. We have to make up our minds that we will not be defeated. Right? Not because of me, not because Archie Gilmer has any strength at all to make that happen, but because I've surrendered to the one who has already claimed a victory over this enemy. Matter of fact, I'm surrendering to the one who's not only claimed victory over my life, but he's claimed victory over the lives of those who I'm witnessing to. Right? I'm going out on my battlefield in my mind and engaging with people who are lost on their battlefields, their minds, and trying to help them see the victory that they already have if they just surrender to it, you see. And they're not going to believe me unless they see victory in my life. If I don't believe I'm victorious, then how are they going to believe they can be victorious? Everybody likes to win. Am I right? I've never played a game or a sport with any other person on the planet where they were like, yeah, I don't want to win. I'd rather lose, thanks. Nobody's that way. So Paul's reminding the Corinthian church that although we live in our physical bodies, the warfare is a spiritual warfare. That's what he's telling the Corinthians. And so earthly strategies, right? Human reasoning, willpower, my willpower, your willpower, cultural solutions. That's not what's going to, they're all going to fail. What's a cultural solution? I'll give you one small example. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. I'll try to help you not do that. We're not going to make laws that are going to make people do right. I'm all for making laws that are necessary to help us live together, right? But really all laws do, are all they ever do is provide consequences if you don't follow them. They will not make you do right. They will not make you honor God. They will not make you act right. They're just there in case you don't. Am I right? We're trying to make, society's trying to make people stop hating other people by making a law against it. All you're doing is making more lawbreakers. Am I right? I'm not against any of that kind of stuff. I'm just saying we can't depend on it to win the victory in our minds. If that were the case, then we would, if that's the way it worked, then we would be pushing to make a law that if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to prison. If that's the way it worked. But we all know that ain't the way it worked. So God's given us divine tools that will help us. What are these divine tools? Prayer. Talk to God. He's the one that's won the victory anyway. Right? He's the one that knows what you need when you need it on the battlefield in your mind. He knows what's going on in your mind. He knows why things are going on in your mind. And he knows the lies that you've been told by the enemy. Which I always take comfort when I think about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. Remember that? And I take a lot of comfort, one, because he's been tempted, just like I have. He's had his dance with the devil, telling him lies. And every time, what did he do? He said, "Well, you promised me something that you can't promise, that you don't have to promise me. And here's what Scripture says about that. So no, we're not doing that." He wins the battle. He wins the battle because not only is he talked to the Father, but he's looking at what Scripture says, the Word of God says, and if it doesn't agree with the Word of God, then we're not doing that. We're not accepting that. We're not even allowing that on the battlefield. We're not even allowing it to reside in the mind. You see what I'm saying? Most of the time that we get in trouble in our minds, most of the time we start struggling and feel like we're losing this battle is because we allow things that disagree with God's truth to exist in our mind. I don't know how many people have told me that they don't think God loves them. These are saved people that I'm talking about. Because something happened in their life or they feel like they did something so bad that now God doesn't love them. And they know, I know that they know otherwise. They know it. But they're so defeated and so confused and so distraught in their darkness, Satan has convinced them that maybe this one thing is what God would not love me for. Doesn't it sound ridiculous? It sounds ridiculous. I mean, it really sounds ridiculous to say it out loud until it's happening to you in the moment. And it's very real because Satan is a professional, wicked liar. He's so good at it, he can make himself sound to you like he's God himself, to where you would believe that. And we have to be on alert, and we have to be aware, and we have to be able to use these tools, prayer, Scripture, and obedience to these truths to defend ourselves against such lies. The picture that we can draw is we have these tools, right? It's like, okay, a friend of mine has a daughter who just graduated with her master's degree, okay? And she's got a picture of herself on the internet. She's standing there with her graduation gown on or whatever that's called, and she's got a plastic lightsaber. It's lit up all blue, and she's all being silly on the picture and everything. And it made me think about this. I'm like, you know, if we don't pray and we don't have the Word of God soaked into our hearts and in our minds, we don't study it on a regular basis and know what God's promises are and know what God's truths are, if we don't do that, then we're just on the battlefield with a plastic lightsaber that lights up blue, thinking we got something going on. When God says, I've made it possible for you to stand on that battlefield with these tools that no one can defeat. and you will be able to, you will not be able to fall for the lies of Satan so easily, because you talk to God. You hear the lie, something comes into your mind, and you say to God, is this true? Help me know if this is true or not. And the Spirit of God, here's what happens. The Spirit of God's going to say, well, let's see. What does it say in this part of Scripture? What does the promises of God say in this part of Scripture? And he starts comparing it to what the lie is. And suddenly you're thinking, man, this don't make no sense at all. And you start feeling that strength come back in your mind. And you start standing firm. You start standing there with the full armor of God. And you're like, nah, we ain't doing this. We're not accepting this truth. We're not going to live here in this truth. This is a lie. And we are not, if it's not of God, it don't belong here. And you start dismissing those things in your mind. You get to do that. You're in charge of that. That's what free will is all about, y'all. That's why God gave us free will. Because he wants us to choose him every time. He wants us to choose his truth every time. He wants us to depend on what he's put in place. He's given us the victory in our minds. We have to stand firm in that. We have to contend for the faith. You understand where I'm going? So victory is not found in our own strength, but it's found in these mighty weapons that God supplies. Don't let me forget about the obedience, right? I don't want to skip over that one, because that one seems to be the hardest one, doesn't it? You can know the Word of God, and you can actually say your prayers every day. But if you don't actually do what you know it says, you're going to be defeated on the battlefield. Just think, if you went into the presence of God, because we have that invitation according to the book of Hebrews, we can go with confidence into the presence of God because of the blood of Christ. Praise the Lord. So why don't we do it? Let's go in there and say, hey, God, Satan's over here telling me this, and I'm starting to believe it. What's going on? And he's just going to sit there and be like, well, have you been reading your Bible? Well, I didn't really have time. Okay, then you don't know, do you? How would you know? How would you know what the truth is? What if there's nothing to compare it to? Obedience. Don't be readers of the word only, be doers. Do what it says. If we're in a practice and a habit of doing what we read in the Word of God, we won't even have half the battles we have in our minds. Because Satan already knows, okay, he's pretty strong in that area. I'm not going to mess with him there, but I'm going to try to find him another area to mess with him. And guess what God does? God uses all of that to show you where you need to be strengthened. It's like if Satan's coming at me in my mind about a certain thing, okay, well, maybe I might be a little weak right there, so let me get with God, and let me look at the Word, and let me find out how can I be stronger there. And continuing to strengthen myself, because guess what? I'm already victorious. The victory's already there. I just have to learn how to stand in it. I have to learn how to depend on the Lord to help me stand in what's already there. I don't have to be victorious. I am victorious in my mind. And look, y'all, I'm not up here saying I got it all figured out. It was just yesterday. I'm talking to my wife. I'm driving down the road talking to my wife, almost losing this battle over some things. And as I'm saying words and thinking about this message at the same time, I'm saying words out loud, and my mind's going, but that doesn't line up with what you're going to preach about tomorrow. And then I'm having an argument with myself. I'm like, but I gotta say it. I gotta say what I'm thinking. I feel like I have to say it. And I'm like, no, you don't. You don't have to. Just shut your mouth. Don't say it. If it's not true, don't say it. Sometimes we talk ourselves into defeat, y'all. Just because there's a thought don't mean you have to let it be. Right? If you're strong personally, the stronger you are personally, the stronger we are individually, the stronger we are as a family. You understand? The stronger we are as a witness to this community. And it doesn't matter what it looks like, and it doesn't matter what it feels like, because we know that God is faithful. And it doesn't matter what the world says. I'm going to tell you what Satan does and says is like bottom of that list when it comes to who don't matter. Make sense? That's where it should be. And I'm saying that out loud mostly to me. I wish there was a big mirror standing right here so I can just talk to myself for a minute. Seriously. Because I'm saying to y'all, what Satan says to you and tries to get you to believe don't matter. It's the bottom of the list of things that matter. And yet, almost daily, I'm struggling with that about something in my life. And it's not because I'm defeated. It's just because I'm growing. I'm still growing, y'all. I'm a guy. I'm a regular person like the rest of y'all. Right? I mean, I don't know if I'm like the rest of y'all. You guys think I'm a little off, but you know. The struggle's real sometimes, isn't it? But we have to know who we are, and we have to know what Jesus has done. And we have to stand in that and let it be a real thing. Because if we don't let that be a real thing, then the battle that's in our mind will be a real thing, and we will be overcome by that. All right, let me get this thing on the runway. This is the powerful part of the scripture that I'm using here today. This right here is where it all, this is going to be the big challenge too, but it's going to be where it all gets real. In verse 5 of chapter 10, 2 Corinthians, it says, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God," y'all. We are destroying speculations. Those are things that aren't true. "And every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience to Christ." Paul's saying that we, the believers, are doing that. He don't mean we in our flesh. He's saying we in Christ are doing this. We're destroying speculations against the gospel, against the truth, against what we know about God, against what the Word of God says is true. Any speculations that would come against what the Word of God says gets flicked out like a fly on a cake. So don't belong there, just flick it out. Speculations are just primarily made up of opinions, right? There's nothing in the Word of God that's speculating. It's a truth. It's an absolute truth. Right? We know it's absolute truth, so it's like, okay, let's see. Information coming in, let's filter it with the Word of God. Does it agree? You're allowed to come in and be a part of my mind. If it don't agree with the Word of God, go stand over there, please, and we're going to have to interrogate a little bit more and see if you're real or not. It's the same thing. You go to the airport. How many of y'all go to the airport anymore? I don't. I just don't because I got a lot of reasons, but I'm just not going to do it. Anyway, you go to the airport, and you got to take everything out of your pockets. This happens at the hospital, too, now, by the way. You got to take all the metal off of you, put it in a basket, and then you walk through the metal detector because they want to see if you're a threat or not. All right? Everything that comes into your mind should be treated that way. Everything that comes into your mind, everything, every bit of information, whether it's in person or especially on the internet, that comes into your mind should go through the filter of truth, the filter of God's way, the filter of who we are in Christ. And let me tell you something. If you got something on you that you shouldn't have on you, you're going to be pulled aside, and you're going to be frisked, and then you're going to be interrogated, and you might be arrested, depending on what you got that you shouldn't have. And you'll be dismissed from the premises and probably taken to jail. That's the way it works at airports and other security places. That's the way we should protect our minds. If it is against the Word of God, if it's against who we are in Christ, if it's against what you know, if it even contradicts it or even is suspicious, you should dismiss it. Don't allow it in. You should somehow in your mind, you should hear that buzzer. If it comes in, wrong stuff. Not going to happen. And guess what? Here's the thing. Here's what most people struggle with, and I think I struggle with it from time to time. We don't even realize we have the authority to not allow it to come in. We don't even realize we have the authority and the responsibility to say, no, you're not allowed in here. You're not coming into this mind. And we just think because we live in the world and somebody said something to us or somebody did something to us, now it's in here and we can't get rid of it and it's destroying us. When God's saying, why is it there in the first place? Did I put it there? No. Did you put it there? No. Why is it there? Because we allow it in there. We allow the world and the things of the world too much access. too much free reign, as if there's some value in that. I'm really trying to encourage you. I'm really trying to build you up, because as I think about this and as I work on this message, I kind of got a little defeated. I was like, man, I fail at this more often than I want to. I did. I mean, I'm driving around thinking about this and thinking about, how do I communicate this where it's not totally making everybody feel so bad about themselves, because I know how I was feeling about it. And then suddenly it hit me. I believe the Lord. He was like, so you're gonna let preparing this very sermon be how you lose on the battlefield? You're going to let all of those negative thoughts come into you and say, just because you failed at this, that you're not the guy to say it? You think that because you've did something wrong that God's not going to continue to use you and continue to help you learn from other people? You think it's just you're defeated? It just kept on going and going. And I was like, wait a minute. And then I started standing up fighting the fight, you know? I'm like, if the Lord's telling me to preach this message, then go preach a message. So here I am. think about. We're at the airport and people are coming and going, and it's an inconvenience to be held off and have to take your shoes off and all that, but it's necessary. Why isn't it necessary to do that in our minds? Why isn't that necessary? Why do we surrender to this fast-paced world? It's so fast-paced that we're not even allowed to take time to police everything that comes and goes. We have so much stress, and we're so defeated in our mind at times over things that have nothing to do with you or me. I think we have too much access to too much information around the whole planet. And I think it's okay to know what's going on in the world, but I also think I don't need to know about some thing that happened in somebody's house in Utah, which is on the national news, or whatever. I'm just making that up. It becomes a big story that somebody did something to somebody and there was a big thing, and all of a sudden everybody wants to see what happened. Everybody wants to see the train wreck or whatever it is. Why do I need that in here? Why do I need that information in my mind? What does that do to help me make disciples in Arden, North Carolina? You understand what I'm saying? Back before we had all the technology, we didn't know what was going on more than 50 miles from our house. Right? I'm not against technology. I'm just saying we have to be vigilant, because the enemy is prowling around looking to take over your mind. And it will take you away from the mission. It'll take you away from your commitment. So here's how we fight. This is what we do. We recognize the enemy. We take up the divine weapons, prayer, scripture, and obedience to Christ. And we bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. There's the key right there. Every thought. I mean every thought. That's a lot of thoughts, isn't it? I mean, for some, it's not many, but most of us, we think a lot every day, right? Every thought, y'all. So one thing, every thought is a lot of thoughts, but we have to bring every thought captive to the obedience to Christ, meaning whatever that thought is, is it going to help me be obedient to Christ and the Word of God, or is it going to take me away from being who I am in Christ and the Word of God? Is it going to help me live the Christian life, or is it going to make me fail in my commitment? That's what it means to take captive. You're in charge of your mind. That's what free will is, you see. And without free will, there's no real love. And you can't love God genuinely without free will. That's why he allows us to have free will. So that tells me that every thought that comes into my mind will be a test as to whether or not I love God more than I love that thought. I know it's challenging, isn't it? It's a lot of thoughts. That's a full-time job, isn't it? It's like some of y'all are sitting back, I got a job. I can't be paying attention to all my thoughts. I'm not going to allow that to be an excuse. How am I going to pay attention to all my thoughts? Well, that's what you do, because that's why you're stressed out. That's why you're losing the battle. That's why you're doubting. That's why you got anxieties. That's why the world is overcome with mental disabilities, because we don't know how to manage the thoughts. And it's because we don't really make ourselves aware of the victory that we already have, those of us who are in Christ. If you know you're victorious and you know you can't lose, then why would you ever have struggle on the battlefield? Right? And it all has to do with developing the habit of policing the thoughts and making them captive to the being obedient to Christ. Remember the "what would Jesus do?" The WWJD? I like to say, "what did Jesus do?" Right? Same thing. That's what it is. If there's a thought in your mind, ask yourself, is this the way Jesus would think? Is this how Jesus would have me think? Is this what Jesus died for? Did Jesus die for me to be thinking this about this situation? Did Jesus die for whatever that person said to come into my heart and into my mind and become a reality? People are harsh, aren't they? They'll say things and they'll tear you down. They'll say things to you and they don't care about you and they just tear you down and you walk away and you know it's not true, but you just start feeling, oh, that person said that about me. And then you start believing that about yourself. Your self-esteem goes in the trash. It's not what Jesus died for. We got a great church family here. An amazing church family. There's some that aren't here. They're traveling for Mother's Day and whatever else. And God's doing some great things around here. He's been doing great things. And yeah, there's things going on. There's concerns. There's things that might not be like we like them, right? But what church don't have that? What family don't have that? What person don't have that? I'm not everything God wants me to be yet. But I'm working on it. I'm trying to get there. Right? That's it. I love you and the Lord loves you. And if you believe that the Lord loves you, we should start living that way and we should start claiming victory on the battlefield. That's what Jesus died for. He died so you could be victorious in your mind. And I'm going to tell you this, and I'm telling this to myself, it will change your life. It will change the way you live. It'll change the way you talk to people. It'll change the way you witness to people if you get your mind where God wants it to be. Let's stand together and we'll sing. If you're not saved, you probably need to think about that. If you're not saved, you're defeated already. Make up your mind to be saved.